Thank you for choosing to listen to the Scripture Thought Podcast, where we talk about life and love and everything in between, with insights from Scripture and experience and just life in general. Come enjoy the journey with us. I feel like I've been saying this with each new post, but today is going to be a little bit different. Today I'm going to go through some thoughts, and then I'm going to give an application at the end. Some of these words are actually taken directly from my devotional that I've been working on and hope to have published before the end of the year. So, if you find that any of this is moving or meaningful to you, keep an eye out for that and feel free to contact me for more information. So, with that said, it's likely safe to say that most people will be familiar with the story of the prodigal son. But you might not have gotten as deep into the details and background as might be necessary to fully understand the truth and the beauty of the father in that story. There are so many little details about the father that are truly wonderful and that act as a reflection of our heavenly father. Regardless of what life has thrown your way, the struggles and the challenges, we are all called to strive to be that loving father and that welcoming father from that story. Henry Nouwen refers to this as having to dare to carry the responsibility of a spiritually adult person and dare to trust that the real joy and real fulfillment can only come from welcoming home those who have been hurt and wounded on their life's journey and loving them with a love that neither asks nor expects anything in return. Daring to hold the responsibility for our children and choosing to love unconditionally without any expectation of anything in return. That is how we become the father from that story. We do this through years of prayer and choosing to make ourselves second to those around us. It's important to note, when it comes to the story of the prodigal son, that the two sons were both loved equally by the father. It may not have felt that way to the elder son, who stayed home. But it is truly important to notice that, as Henry Nouwen indicates, the father's free and spontaneous response to his younger son's return does not involve any comparisons with the elder son. To the contrary, he ardently desires to make his elder son part of the joy. You see, the father was not making any commentary on the older son when he celebrated the return of the younger son. He was merely expressing the joy of his returned son, and then tried to bring the older son into that joy as he invited him to the celebration. Because the return of the younger son makes him call for a joyful celebration. The return of the elder son makes him extend an invitation to full participation in that joy. Luke 15:20 says, "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." This is truly one of my favorite scenes in the whole Bible. This young man thought he knew better than his father, and he wanted to live life and be on his own. And while he got to enjoy the moment of freedom as he did that, he learned quite quickly the foolishness of leaving behind the wisdom of his father, and he lost absolutely everything. Why this scene gets me, though, is because of the father. Despite the squandering and abandoning that his son did, the father still loved his son more than words could ever be able to express. It would have been a first century custom for that son to be disowned and utterly shamed by the entire village and cut off from the father's family for what he did. Instead, however, the father did the unthinkable. He ran, which was a shameful act for a man to do in that time and that culture. He ran to meet his son and take upon himself all the shame to keep his son from having to experience that himself. So while it is important to let our children learn some hard lessons in life on their own, it is also important to show them our love and support even when we don't agree with their decisions, even when we happen to know the disaster that their decisions will lead to. Our children need to know that we support them. When we let them do their own thing and follow their own path, we can pray they will make the best choices. But even when they don't, we can still run to them and love them and support them and show them that our love for them is not situational. We love them regardless of what they do, just as Christ loves us regardless of what we do. The story of the prodigal son exemplifies this perfectly. I have been that prodigal son. I have struggled in so many ways to find my place. But as my life has progressed and I have grown, I've learned, as Nouwen says, that whether you're the older son or the younger son, you have to realize that you are called to become the father. And this is something that I have tried to live out for the entirety of my time as a parent, which began the day that I got married. You see, Joey was 5 years old when Stacia and I got married. It was a huge deal to get married and become a parent on the same day, and not something that I have taken lightly ever since. Now, sure, we have had 3 more boys since then, but you, Joseph, are the only person in this world who gets to claim the title of having made me a father. You will always be special to me for a million reasons, but for that one, especially. And I know that things have not always been super amazing between us. I know that they've never been bad, thankfully, but I will admit that I've not always been as good as I should have been, or as good as you deserved. Deep down, I occasionally struggled with knowing what to do or how to act as a parent, because I never wanted to be a replacement for your dad. I know you love him, as well you should, and I've never wanted to take his spot in your life. And so that has sometimes been my own personal battle to fight. But in reality, I have just done my best to be present, to be available, and to love you in such a way that you wouldn't think of me as just a stepdad, but instead as a dad who deeply loves you. I'm sorry for the times that I have failed in that way, and I ask that you forgive me for the times that I'll continue to fail. All that to say, though, I have a few blessings for you today, Joe. Joshua 24:15 says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I'm sure I've told you this story, but when I was a kid, my dad had an office set up in the garage to do business. He was employed as a self-employed attorney, and so he did most of his work at home, despite having a physical office downtown for meetings. So in his garage office, I remember a crystal case that held a set of little half-inch by 2-inch cards, each of which had a Bible verse on them. He would switch through them occasionally, but the one that always stood out as being the most prominent was the one that held this passage. Joshua was a mighty warrior, an amazing leader, and a strong and courageous man, chosen by God to lead an army into many battles. He knew the importance of prioritizing the master we choose to serve. He made it quite clear that he would not follow the ways of his ancestors and instead would choose to serve the Lord, the God of Israel, and that he desired for all to follow with him in choosing that. Sometimes we put things before God and end up worshiping those things. We idolize money, security, our image, our family, our job, or any number of other things. When we do this, we are saying that God is less important and that we'd rather serve and bow down to these other things. For you, Joey, I pray that you would be like Joshua. Set an example for everyone around you, standing firm in the truth and wisdom of serving the one and only God of the universe. Mark 1:11 says, "And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" Just take a second and try to imagine how amazing this moment was in Jesus' life. I mean, this is quite possibly one of the greatest human moments. And I realize that my thoughts and feelings are likely very different than what his were. But at the same time, Jesus was still fully human in addition to being fully divine. He probably had some feelings of great elation in this moment. Heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended. Okay, stop right there. That is already one of the coolest scenes in the entirety of the New Testament. Jesus did not live his life in a way seeking this recognition from his Father. He lived a life worthy of that, but not one that sought it. He wanted to be an example of the Heavenly Father, so that the world would be able to see and know him as Jesus knew him. It's important to approach life with that same mindset. We should never seek to live solely for recognition. We should, however, seek to live the example of Jesus in a way that demonstrates the truth of our Heavenly Father. So as a father, I love this image because I love the idea of speaking truth and life into the lives of my children. And on top of that, I am blessed and occasionally challenged with all four of you boys. And so I do my best to speak the truth of how proud I am of your various efforts and accomplishments. It doesn't matter how big or small the task or the goal is. You obviously don't have to be the savior of the world. We already have one of those. And he was and is and always will be the only one we need. When we see or hear experience the joy in our children accomplishing something, big or small, it doesn't matter. It is incredibly important to take part in encouraging them and applauding them. It's our job to part the clouds of indifference in life. We need to tell our children how proud we are of them and how happy we are for the amazing things that they're doing. Joey, know that for the last 14 years, I have seen all of your accomplishments. And even if I haven't shouted from the rooftops like I should have, I have celebrated you deeply for each and every triumph in your life. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind." When we think of spoken blessings from the Bible, we might think of specific instances like Isaac speaking a blessing over Jacob, Jacob speaking a blessing over each of his sons. But for me, however, I think of this instance of David's words to Solomon. David had a lot of issues and was quite an imperfect man, as I've talked about before. But one thing that he held true was his faithfulness to love and serve God all his days. It is our job as fathers to foster and shepherd our children in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. We do this first and foremost by living out an example of what it means to be in love with and devoted to Jesus Christ as our Savior. A very close second is praying for our children and asking God to bless their paths and give them the wisdom to stand firm in their faith. As parents, our homes are our first missionary field. We must send them, our children, into the world properly prepared to be witnesses and representatives of Jesus Christ. We do all of this by embracing the truth that we must teach our children how to live devoted to Christ. We teach them to pray. We teach them to live for Jesus. We teach them to show their lives as an example and how to humble themselves and seek God when we have fallen short. But finally, as David prayed for Solomon, my prayer for you is that you would consistently find and fall madly in love with Jesus. I know that life can sometimes feel hard, and like church and religion and even Jesus specifically, none of it is worth it. And I know for a fact that you will have people in your life trying to convince you that it's all not worth it. But as first, a man who loves you deeply and eternally, and secondly, as a man who has questioned all these same things in my own life, I plead with my whole heart that you stay focused on the cross. Even when it feels pointless, just keep holding on. You will never regret holding on to the truth of Jesus, no matter what the world tells you, and I can absolutely promise you that. So again, all of this to say, Joe, the only person in the world who can claim to have made me a father, happy 18th birthday. I pray that God blesses you and makes his face to shine upon you today and always. Just to leave you with a few words from Henry Nouwen that mean a lot to me In speaking of the story of the prodigal son, Nouwen says that the father's love does not force itself on the beloved, that's us. Although he wants to heal us of all our inner darkness, we are still free to make our own choice to stay in the darkness or to step into the light of God's love. God is there. God's light is there. God's forgiveness is there. And God's boundless love is there. I pray that your mom and I have been and continue to be that light in your world, and that despite the darkness of all that is consistent around us, that you will see God's light and that you will reflect it to the entire world around you. You were made for great and impossible things, Joe. And I can already see you holding on to Jesus and making those impossible things entirely and completely possible. Happy birthday. Thank you again for coming along on today's Scripture Thought podcast journey. Your support is very meaningful, and I appreciate you being here with me. Join me next time as we continue talking about life and love and everything in between.